Paolo!
Joe, my friend.
How's it going?
Good.
What are we going to talk about today, Paolo?
We're going to talk about reorgs.
Reorgs. Okay, what about reorgs? What do you want to discuss about reorgs?
Okay, I have a question for you.
Oh, okay.
Are reorgs necessary?
Ooh, are they necessary? I knew you were going to stump me, Paolo. I'll say that I believe theoretically they're necessary, but I don't know if they do more damage than the good they cause.
Oh, wow. Theoretically necessary. So why are theoretically necessary?
Because to me, my understanding of like the most quintessential need for a reorg is when you need the group of people who are working on a project or maybe multiple projects, you really need them to either shift their focus or what they're really trying to aim or achieve. And you really need to adjust. And it's true in business, you have to be able to adjust over time and stuff like that. And a lot of times it has to be drastic. It has to be structural in that sense. So that is why theoretically, I believe reorgs can happen. Somebody doesn't come up with the perfect org structure the first time the company is around.
Yeah. So I generally agree. If I have to reframe what you just said, the market conditions shift.
Yeah.
There's innovation that gets created. We are living through a time of deep innovation now, and businesses need to react and stay in tune with the market, and so that they can compete and hence the reorgs. There's no way you can keep the same org structure throughout a longer period of time.
Yes.
Right? But what's the delta between theory and practice?
This is something that really bothers me, and I don't know that I have the answer to it, but people rarely talk about if a reorg was successful or what's a good versus a bad reorg. And I think, like, if our leaders do a reorg, we should be able to measure it and hold people accountable, just like any other project that we're working on. But I don't know. Like, I don't know how you would actually determine whether you have a better structure in place, which gets to your question of, like, in practice. Because I think in practice, there are bad reorgs. Let me start by giving you an example. The best reorg I was ever a part of, when they announced the reorg, everybody like felt like that was old news. And the reason why was because people had already been working with each other in a certain way across lines. They had already created product reviews that people are now attending that they wouldn't naturally have been doing, but that leads were saying, hey, we need to bring in this team and this team to work through these problems. And so it was just a formality at that point. Nobody's work changed because it was a formality. It was to essentially say, hey, look, we've already started down this path. We're just formalizing what we've been doing because we think this is the right approach. That was the best reorg that I was ever a part of. And the reason why was because it was very clear what the strategy was. And we were already doing the work.
So yes, it's a natural reorganization. And it was successful because the work and the people in the company were already organizing, self-organizing in a sense, in that way. What I found interesting about this is that it highlights one potential reason for a delta between the theory of reorgs as a way to keep up with the market, technology, innovations, whatever, external conditions, and reorgs that are instead driven by leadership change or by egos.
In leadership change, do you mean just a person who's come into the org that's different? Or do you mean somebody just trying to start an initiative?
Mostly I think about someone new coming to to an organization. But it could be someone who is in the organization already, take a higher role and bigger position. And it's natural that that person will potentially want to reorg things in a way and to shape how the organization work in line with his or her expectations. That's understandable. But that is the challenge, because if that is the main reason, that to me is when you see reorgs going in direction that may not solve real problems with external conditions, may not address some of the initial reason for the reorgs and et cetera. So I think that potentially is one of the reasons why there is a delta between theory, to use your word, and practice.
I do think you're onto something here, because I do think that that is also, if we were going to almost start ranking these as like good or bad reasons for like reorgs, I do think that is one of the good reasons. And it's almost like the classical definition. Mm-hmm. It actually reminds me of, I heard this anecdote about a college campus. You know, they had this beautiful green lawn, and the designers wanted to figure out where they should put the walking paths. And one of the designers said, well, you know, why don't we just come back and we'll see where everybody has naturally walked. We'll see the natural ways. And when they came back and they could see what parts of the field, you know, it cuts off in this way, it cuts off in this way. You could see which are more downtrodden than others. You then lay your path that way. You don't lay the pavement before and expect people that you created the optimal way. You see naturally how are people and systems moving, and then you lay your pavement down.
This is such a great example, because one of the challenges that we have, if we separate the two types of reorg, right? Mm-hmm. It just, in practice, it's hard to separate the two, right?
Yeah,
because the reorgs are always initiated and driven by leadership. So in both cases, it's the leadership who's doing. So that's the challenge, you know. But we all feel, as people who work in organizations, when reorgs are more successful than other times, when you have times when reorgs are more successful. You have a great example. I have plenty of example of good reorgs. I have example of bad reorgs, you know, that they don't last. In fact, actually, an indicator of a reorg that is not so good is how much you reorg within a given time frame.
Yes.
Because, sure, market conditions constantly change, but usually they don't change every 3 months.
Correct.
If you find yourself in an organization that reorgs every 3 months or so, then you may be in a situation where you should start questioning the quality of your leadership, because it be very rare that all of these reorgs are driven by market conditions.
I do think that there should be almost like a freeze period. I feel like if an area gets reorged, you should the company should freeze it, that it can't be reorged for another 18 months. Because imagine if you're going to do a reorg, and you're going to freeze out that team for another 18 months or whatever the limit is, the threshold you set, all of a sudden, leadership is probably going to care a lot about landing those correctly, because they have one for the next 18 months.
Oh, yeah, that's such a good point.
So you don't even have to figure out how to measure a good one or bad one. Just limit how often they can happen.
That's such a good point. Okay, I have another question for you.
Okay, yeah, hit me, Paula.
Why are reorgs so painful?
I heard this story, I think it was on Freakonomics maybe, and it was about a study where they would ask participants to assemble Legos into little sculptures, and you would get paid for each sculpture that you made. And you'd bring it up to the person at a front desk, and you turn in the sculpture, and they'd give you like, I don't know, quarter or 5 cents, whatever it was. And then they would give you like another sculpture to make. But sometimes, in one of the test conditions, they would disassemble it right in front of you, and then ask you, do you want to build another statue? And what they showed is that statistically, if your work gets disassembled in front of you, those people wouldn't build as much. Whereas the people whose work they just put into a desk, they kept building, and they built overall more. It's extremely demoralizing when you're working on something and everything shifts. It calls into question, what have I been using my time on? How have I been spending it? Have I been spending it wisely? Is this all going to waste? And then for what you bring up, especially if something is being driven out of ego and you can't see the reason of why you're doing something like this, I think that's demoralizing as well. I think that's why it's so painful.
Yeah, I agree on both things that you mentioned. I was focusing on my personal experience that some of the reorgs I've been part of, they were completely top down. almost out of the blue. I mean, there's a rumor that we're going to reorg going through the company, but then it happens. And you, me in this case, as one of the IC or even lower level manager, not saying into any of this, right? And so those are the more painful. Because the one thing that is understudied, underappreciated, is that an organization, a company, is not only a place where you work. It's also a place where you make friends.
Yeah.
It's a place, especially in Silicon Valley and the new crop of companies that came out in the early 2000s with the ethos of, you know, becoming a place to spend more time there and all the various amenities that many of these companies here provide, right? So they incentivize a interaction that extend beyond, oh, you're my coworker. You're my coworker, you're my friend, you are someone who I want to hang out with, right? And so because of this meshing of formal network roles from a pure org structure, informal network roles from a more egalitarian, from a friendship type of relationships, reorgs are painful because you are... The two things are not disconnected. And so when you reorg once, only one, you can reorg friendship. But you actually also reorg in friendship a little bit.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I can tell you by direct experience that when there is a reorg and I start interacting with new people, my old friends just disappear. Most of the times, I don't even see them anymore.
Oh, no, they ghost you. Yeah, that is the pain. Yeah, you're really making me realize.
And that's a painful point because we're not just co-workers anymore in the ethos that we hear. We are also friend. And then, you know, the reorg is like, oh, man, I'm losing my friend.
And in some ways, that might make people feel like a cog. That might make them feel replaceable, as in like, oh, well, you take the assignment and you work on this and you should be like any other cog.
Exactly. And here you have a tension between two principles. A principle of I work for a company, I'm an employee, I have a clear leadership structure and they call the shot, right? And the principle, oh, we're all friends here. And those two principles are in natural tension with each other. Mm-hmm. And so there are situations where this tension emerges. Reorg is one of the situations, and hence you have these pain points. That's why they're painful in my mind. You lose that social capital. You lose a lot of this soft, tacit knowledge that accumulates within teams, especially when they have worked together for a long time, and then they're disbanded. You lose all of that, and that's one challenge that you see. It's interesting to me that none of these factors is usually considered when you think about reorg. They're really more rationally planned from the perspective of leadership overlooking at an org chart, and you know sometimes hopefully taking into account market conditions, other times for different reasons, but. To your point earlier about, how about we limit the number of reorgs? That's a way to incorporate in practice what we've just been talking about. Because then you allow for the space of these informal networks to more friendship, more egalitarian, to develop and to stay in tune with the org structure itself, right? You allow for that. In a sense, the painful of reorganizations, it's always going to be there. It's a potentially painful experience, but you can limit this pain. So I think we are converging on reorgs are painful.
Yeah.
They are necessary. And ideally, you don't go through too many of them. If you go through too many of them, you may want to question leadership or your commitment to that company with that leadership. That is, you know, probably if I had to summarize what we've been talking about, this seems a good spot to land.
Do you have any advice to anybody related to reorgs?
I would say that to accept that they are painful. I would say that to set your expectation in that way. So that would be my first advice. Set your expectation toward some pain that you will see and some uncertainty that you will experience as part of a reorg. Once the dust settles, asking your manager, your leader, about her perspective on the reorg can give you a little bit of closure on particularly if you're experiencing more pain and a bit more uncertainty and anxiety for your job in this uncertainty. So asking your manager and be open about it as a way to bring closure mm-hmm. to the experience.
My advice would be for the managers. So I think most managers will know that their people will be very scared with their reorg, especially if it doesn't even affect them. They don't know that yet. So it's very helpful to be very clear in your communication to let them know if like, oh no, your work is changing or it's not changing. And the way that you can help reduce that anxiety is to try to figure out exactly, is their work changing? Like, are their projects going to change? And are the people that they're working with changing? And give them the best map that you can informally create, give that to them so that they know and they can hit the ground running once they get the news.
Oh, that's such a great point.
Yeah, because sometimes managers let researchers figure that out for themselves.
Yes.
And that's really frustrating. And then I would just say for everyone, it's okay to go to your manager and just to admit that this is a trying time. What is true is that there can be a lot of opportunity that comes out of a reorg. So people who are really adaptable to change and are willing to jump and fill a space, they can seize on the opportunity of a reorg and all that ambiguity. But at the same time, there is a cost, and you don't have to be a superhero every single time. And sometimes you just need a break. Like sometimes you need to take like a day off. You need to just collect yourself. You need to let some of the dust settle. And what I have found is when I talk to my manager and I share with her, hey, you know, I might need the rest of today off. I need to really think. I need to decompress. I need to de-stress. That has always worked. And I've always been, you know, happy to help accommodate, you know, other people. So don't forget that human element of it, that there is a cost to it. And it's okay. It's okay to practice some self-care so that you can, in the new world, tackle it even more vigorously.
Fantastic. This is a great advice. Thank you, Joe. I think we covered a lot of ground today about reorgs.
All right. Well, we'd love to hear if you guys have any ideas about reorgs. Go ahead and feel free to comment to us on LinkedIn if you have any ideas. And we'll see you next time.
Bye, everyone.
See ya.